Hello and welcome to the Medic Mum Podcast, the unplugged version with me, a very husky me, Dr. Poonam, and
me, Dr. Steph. So that kind of segues nicely into what we're going to talk about this week, because we are going to be chatting about winter bugs and illnesses. As GPs, it's something that we're seeing a lot of in clinic at the moment, but also experiencing a lot of at home. And Poonam, you've had quite a week with pretty much the whole house being unwell. So tell us, how are you? How are you guys? And how's it been?
Yeah. I'm trying so hard not to kind of snuffle away and cough and splurt. Luckily, you cannot catch this through audio. it's been, I mean, today we are on the way to recovery, which is just
good.
I'm so grateful for that. And I think you really have to kind of hit rock bottom sometimes and really hit that point of feeling so poorly to appreciate how good you feel when you're well.
Yeah.
So we unfortunately all as a household got unlucky and got the flu last week, and it was the real flu. You know, when people talk about flu, our patients do it sometimes and they've got a bit of a runny nose, a bit of a sore throat. Yeah. They're still able to kind of work. They're still able to go about. Mm-hmm. That is not the flu, people.
No.
That is the cold. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've always had patients say, haven't we, like they feel so unwell that they feel that they're, I remember a patient saying to me once that even my eyelashes are hurting, and I was like, okay, don't
like,
really
know.
That's
a bit dramatic, come on.
But yeah, exactly, calm down, love. But oh my god, not
but then you
my
go through it.
My eyelashes were
all
on
your eyelashes
fire
hurting.
My eyelashes were killing me, my hair was killing me, like and the worst part of it was like the baby was the first to get it, and watching little ones, you know, poorly at any point in life, like your children being sick, is just a parent's worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. And she's 2.5 and she just was, you know, so unwell. We ended up in hospital 3 times, which in itself was just such an awful experience and really a real time insight. You know, I know we both work as doctors, but a real insight into just how pressured the NHS is just now. Mm-hmm. But equally, we know, and maybe you who's listening at home might not know, but at the moment, the highest kind of rates of hospitalizations are in the under fives in the UK, as well as amongst the elderly with flu and these respiratory type illnesses. And so with kids especially, they can kind of go down, and they go down really quickly. So she was the first to get it. Then I ended up catching it. So my husband did. And then my son, who's now just kind of coming out of it just now. Mm. But it is so transmissible, much like COVID. But I think that I was speaking about it on my Instagram today, just about, you know, why is it important? Why should we be worried about the flu this year? And it's because we haven't seen flu cases in the same way over the last couple of years. Mm. And so collectively, our immunity is low. Mm-hmm. And people might be complacent and might be like, well, it's just flu. Like, it's not as bad as COVID. Mm-hmm. But, you know, flu kills people every year. Yeah. And it can kill people, especially those who are more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the time to get your vaccine, if you're eligible for free on the NHS, is now, if you've been invited. But equally, there are private options available. And I, as having gone through it, as a patient, never want to ever repeat going through it again. We were due to get our vaccines this week, and it's just so unfair and just so
unlucky,
just ridiculous, unlucky. Yeah, that actually the wee bloody virus got to us before. So yeah, you're seeing a lot of it as well, aren't you, at the moment?
Yeah, just a lot. There is a lot of flu going around, and I completely agree with you in that COVID has sort of taken over the past few years, hasn't it? And people seem to have forgotten about the flu, or like you said, complacent is the right word. But I think, you know, it's so important to get your flu vaccine if you are eligible for it. You know, don't delay. If you get those reminders in, I know there's 100 things to do on the to-do list, but definitely get it done. My eldest, she actually had her nasal flu vaccine done today at school. So I think that's the brilliant
amazing
thing, is that a lot of schools will be doing it, and just make sure you sign the consent form and they will do it. And so you don't even have to worry
make
about
sure you
booking
sign
the
right part of the consent
form.
Yeah,
I was going to say, didn't we have a story about how you didn't you sign for the injection instead of the nasal
child
spray? Yeah.
Yes, yes. So do not do that. If your child, you know, for like, if it's not for religious reasons or you've got no issues with the nasal flu, then just make sure you tick the right box, because I was an idiot. I rushed things and signed the form whereby it made him unable to get the nasal flu, and poor boy was singled out and ended up with the actual needle jab. Oh. He's still never forgiven me. I had to get his dad this year to sign it. He's like, I just don't trust you, mummy. I love you, but I don't trust that you'll fill the form out.
Poor thing.
Fair enough. Poor thing. I deserve this one.
Good. You can palm off an admin job to dad instead. Great.
Well, exactly. Maybe this is it. Maybe I need to start filling out more forms.
Just start making mistakes and everything. Yeah. Just become completely incompetent.
Children, this year you will suffer, but next year it will be good for everybody, because mother's mental well-being will be okay.
It's the key. It's the key. We'll give it a go.
Oh, I know. So here, Steph, you work in the private sector. Mm-hmm. So in your GP surgery, I'd like to know, and this is coming from some questions I got on Instagram today, is that the cutoff for children getting the nasal flu jab on the NHS is 2 years old, depending mm-hmm. on where their birthday falls.
Yeah.
But if there is a child who has turned two and has not hit that criteria for the NHS, or they're under two and parents wish to get them the flu jab, mm-hmm. what is the advice, or what are you doing in the private land?
Yeah, so firstly, they are eligible, I suppose, in inverted commas. If you want to bring them in and have the flu jab done, you can. But just know that the nasal spray is licensed from above, from two and above. So if they're under two, they'll be coming in and they'll be having the actual injection. But yeah, they can have it from 6 months old. And, you know, it's not available on the NHS. And I guess it's because they've looked at the data and, you know, really at-risk groups. So you could argue, well, you don't have to worry about it. However, on the other hand, I think seeing how the flu virus is behaving, like you said, having been through it as well at home, you know, if you've got a little one at home and you've got an older sibling who could potentially also bring the flu home, I think it's completely reasonable to consider having it done. At the end of the day, it is a personal choice. But if someone were to come in and say, I really want it, I wouldn't say no, unless there were contraindications to having it done. So, yeah, you can have it done with kind of private GPs. I think some pharmacies will also be offering it privately as well. We can go and kind of pay and have it done there. So if you are really keen, then definitely look into it.
Yeah. I think that's really good advice, and that's good for me to know as well. I think that the important thing is, because we don't want to invite any, you know, anti-vaxxers or trolls to the scene. Mm-hmm. This is not what this is about. This is purely about us knowing what the evidence is, what the data shows, mm-hmm. and we get to see what the winter ahead of us is going to look like based on the trends that we see across on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
So we look at countries like Australia, mm-hmm. who have just come out of their winter, and all the data from there is showing that they've had the worst winter with influenza, flu, this year. And what happens by watching what's going on over there, it lets us see what the kind of dominant strains of flu mm-hmm. are likely to be over here. Mm-hmm. And that's what helps us tweak our vaccines here, making sure that we're able to offer as much protection. But it's important, again, that you understand that the vaccine is not going to stop you from getting the flu. No mm-hmm. vaccine is 100% bulletproof. But what it does do is it really reduces your chances of catching those strains. So that if you do get unlucky and you do get the flu, then much like the COVID jab, you're likely to have much milder symptoms, and it reduces your chance of hospitalization and severe illness, which really, like, I cannot emphasize enough, you really want this for yourself and for your kids. Mm-hmm. Because I am fit and healthy, and when I say floored by it, like, I was disorientated, I was dizzy, like at moments, you know, I just couldn't even figure out my bearings. As I already said, the aches and pains were like something I've never experienced. I've had COVID twice before, the first time of which was the worst I'd ever felt in my life. But, you know, that was nothing in comparison to how ill I felt last week.
Oh, really?
And then the baby, like, she couldn't communicate, and her fevers were like up in the 40s, could not break them.
Bless
and
her.
At one point, she was kind of saying, she just kept saying, "My scared." And I was like, maybe she's having like hallucinations because her fevers were so high. She kept going, "Mommy, my scared, my scared." And then, of course, a few days later when I got it, like, I literally had this sense of impending doom.
Really?
I had this awful chest tightness, couldn't breathe properly. And I just turned to my husband and I was like, "I'm not even kidding. I really feel like I might die tonight." You know, and it's just, it makes you feel so bad. Yeah. And interestingly, when I shared it on my Instagram, the number of people that have commented that have experienced flu, and the pattern is, you know, I had the flu 10 years ago. And at that point, I was like, I never want to experience this again. Mm-hmm. I've never missed my flu jab since. Mm-hmm. Or I had flu 20 years ago and it was the worst I've ever felt. And so, you know, I think when you've had real flu, you never want to mess with it again.
Yeah. Well, I think it's such an important point then that you mentioned just now and then touched on at the beginning, and that the flu is debilitating. It's not just kind of a bit of a runny nose or anything like that. It completely knocks you off your feet. You basically can hardly do anything, you know, finding it really difficult to do really simple tasks. Kind of ongoing fevers, off your food, just feeling like absolute crap. So there is definitely a difference. And also with the flu vaccine as well, there's always this myth going around every single season that you can catch the flu from the vaccine, but it's not true when it comes to the actual vaccination. So the flu vaccine is not a live vaccine, so it's got kind of small pieces of dead virus in there that stimulate your immune system to produce antibodies. With the nasal flu spray, it's a little bit different because there are some parts of the virus in there, but they are still weakened, so it's not a live, not lots of live viruses in there. And again, I get pregnant women that will say to me, "Well, is it okay if my little one gets the vaccine? You know, and what about them getting it? And you know, is there a risk to me?" Actually, no, it's better that they get it because they will be protected. And actually, pregnant women are also a really important at-risk group as well.
Yes.
Then the recommendation is for you to also make sure that you are getting your flu vaccine. If your little one is having it and you are pregnant, you haven't had it, you need to go and have it as well.
Exactly. And, you know, I had a question on my Instagram today from someone who was pregnant and said that she'd had the flu jab and which then proceeded to have 10 days of flu-like illnesses. And I could understand, I could hear the frustration. She's like, "Well, I wish you would just give the other side of the story." And the fact is that all vaccines can give you some mild aches and can give you sort of mild fever in the next couple of days. This is really a marker that your immune system is mounting a response. Unfortunately, if you do catch something like the flu after you've just had the vaccine, you've just been really unlucky. Yeah. It's probably that you've been in contact and been exposed to the virus just before you've had the jab.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody says that when you get the vaccine, you're not going to feel a bit groggy for a few days. And I remember it well. You'll remember it well when you're pregnant as well. Everything in your system, like your immune system, does just kind of go down that bit more. You are a bit more just run down, exhausted all the time. And you are at risk of catching things that are going around, which is why we put people, women that are pregnant, in that category of high risk. So I know it's not ideal. I know that you don't want another jab, but it's just important that you protect yourself, because getting the flu, especially when you're pregnant, can cause you all sorts of complications that you really want to avoid if you can.
Yeah.
But of course, with anything, we're not big, you know, we're not like the vaccine mafia here. By all means, do your research. Always do your research for any medicine that you ever take. You'd never take a drug off the counter either and just like, you know, take it at face value. You would do a little bit of research, read the instructions. So do your research, look at websites like the NHS, the World Health Organization, have a chat with your, you know, whether it's your health visitor, if it's for your children, if it's your GP, your practice nurse, you know, just have a conversation from people that can be trusted, not Facebook or your WhatsApp groups or the aunties or the neighbours down the street.
Yeah.
Just get your info and make up your own mind. But I just think that, you know, listening to people who have been there, and I am, in some ways, I'm like, well, that was lucky, because I can really empathise with my patients next time. Yes. I'm like, "Oh my God, your eyelashes were hurting. Sit down. Peggy.
I totally get it.
Have a cup of tea. I totally hear you. But also, how the hell did you manage to get to the surgery? Because I couldn't get to the toilet. but I think the thing is just have that conversation. Yeah, that's really it. Yeah. I think the only other thing I wanted to touch upon is, because we are the Medic Mum podcast, is that when little ones get sick, have we any tips and tricks? Because it was awful, like trying to get my baby, like Arish is, you know, he's 9. So him going through it is very different. He can communicate. He can tell me. He can understand that he needs to drink fluids. Mm-hmm. He understands that he needs to take medication. But with my 2.5-year-old, toddlers are a very tricky stage. Mm. Because as I keep learning, different babies, of course, are different personalities. But toddlers are coming into their own. They're little people with huge personalities that are growing, absorbing, evolving. They love to be in control. They like to have options given them to them. Or maybe that's just my 2.5-year-old.
Oh, no, they run the show, basically. They need to think that they're the boss and that they're in control. And, yeah, they're the ones that are telling you what to do. Yeah. All the time. Yeah.
Have you any tips, Steph?
Well, I think the key thing with, I think the difficulty that people have, we've had in the past, is giving medication and keeping fluids up. So you shared something really helpful about keeping fluids up. So I'll let you share that. But in terms of the medication side of things, I mean, luckily, if you need to give paracetamol or ibuprofen, if it's safe, you know, if there is no reason not to, for example, then if they don't have any allergies, then... luckily my two actually love taking them, but if you are having problems, then there are a few things you can do. There's this I call it the O technique. So you use the syringe. So first thing with the syringe, don't aim it right at the back of the throat, because that can trigger their gag reflex. They have quite a sensitive gag reflex. Point it towards either cheek, and then once, don't put it all in one go either, kind of a little bit at a time. And when you do put it in, you kind of use your thumb and your index finger and put one on either side of the cheek. I'm doing it now. I don't know if I'm describing this well. And you kind of squeeze their cheeks, squeeze both their cheeks. So you
as you would do when they're really, really cute and they've got these big, cute cheeks and you just want to look squishy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. And you kind of make an O, basically, like this, with them, with their lips. Can you, I don't know if you can see it. Can you get the visual from the audio? Probably not. But you make a big O with their lips.
I need you to do an Instagram story.
Yeah, I think I probably need to. And you basically just keep on squeezing. Like, just keep on squeezing their cheeks, and it makes it really difficult for them to spit it out. That is a little tip that I learned from our practice nurse when I took my eldest for her first set of vaccines. You know, they have to take that rotavirus thing, which is kind of which they always spit out. So try that. And also just putting stickers on the bottle, on the syringe, whatever it is, like decorating it. You know, my little one, she's obsessed with Peppa Pig at the moment. So I would probably put Peppa Pig stickers on there and be like, it's Peppa's medicine. Do you want to take some of Peppa's medicine? You know, make it a little bit fun, kind of an interactive story with them. Mm. If you're really struggling and you feel like they're really distressed, they've got a fever, you really need to give them something. There are suppositories, so paracetamol suppositories that exist. They're like tiny little bullet-shaped tablets, and you pop them into the bottom and they kind of work their magic. So I believe you can buy some over-the-counter, but just have a chat with your pharmacist. In some age groups, they might need a prescription as well. They are a little bit more expensive if you're buying them privately, but yeah, they can be an absolute lifesaver if you're really struggling to get any oral medication in. But tell us about
really
your fluids
tips. And yeah, well, I it's interesting, isn't it? As doctors, we often advise patients of like what to do, and I must say, I think my eldest was always quite textbook to that. So like he had severe silent reflux as a baby. So I think from day dot, he also kind of was used to medications, unfortunately for him. But we never really struggled with medications. And he loved the taste of, you know, Calpol and ibuprofen and all the rest of them and antibiotics. He never like flinched or anything. Whereas
that's impressive.
My baby just tests me so much. And she, from day dot, any time we've ever needed to give her medicine, it's been awful. And I don't know whether I'm just a big wuss as a mum, mm-hmm. but I can't seem to, even the O thing, like she has a, she just knows how to spit it out, no matter what you do. And she screams so much.
Tongue of
and
steel.
And then she'll just vomit like it up. And yeah. it's the most frustrating, heartbreaking, awful thing to happen. Like I just, it's, I would just cry when she was a lot smaller because, and then my husband would like, you know, try and he was a bit better than I was because he was just a bit more like, it's just not as much of a wuss as I am. But what I found is that now she's 2.5 and we had the same carry on again, like we just could not get the medicine into her. But I discovered a way to get it in. And this is where I come back to mighty personalities that are evolving and growing. And she loves to be given options is what we've discovered last week.
Yeah.
So it had to be, would you like mummy to give you the medicine or would you like daddy to give you the medicine? And then she always just picked one and therefore she felt in control.
Yeah.
And she just opened her mouth and took it.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what just happened? And the first time she did it, I was like, nah, man, that was a fluke.
Yeah.
The second time and third time and then... And then, of course, over the next few days, she was like, So we were like, does mummy do it? Daddy do it? Or does the doctor do it? And she was like, no, doctor. Mummy do it. Ah.
Like, you're like, mummy is the doctor, girl. But...
Yeah, I know. We won't talk about that. From everything that she's witnessed, she's probably like, if my mummy is a doctor, she's the worst thing because all she does is cry every time I'm ill. So... and then the second thing was we were, so one of the things that your doctors will say to you until they're blue in the face is push fluids, hydrate the babies and kids as much as possible because when they are feverish and they're poorly, their bodies are working at a much higher rate, their metabolism's ticking along, they are absorbing and taking all the fluid that they can and they're also blowing off lots because they're so hot. So you need to give them lots of fluids in order to prevent them from dehydrating, otherwise they're going to get really sick. So ordinary things that, you know, would work in my son and I advise parents is, you know, encourage sips. You can use a syringe. So something like, you know, either 5 mils every 5 minutes or 10 mils every 10 minutes. You can add in squash, give them juice. There's no judgment. Just get some fluids into them, milk, whatever they'll have. Ice lollies is a great one. But none of this, none of this would work with my Alura. She didn't even want an ice lolly. Nope, none of that. Wow. But what worked with her, we just instantly stumbled upon this game, was my son was like, he was just drinking, I don't know, he was drinking water or something, and he was just blowing bubbles in his glass. And then the next minute she's like, straw. So I was like, okay. So I gave her this glass and straw and she started blowing bubbles. And I was like, well, if you want to blow a bubble, you got to have a sip. And then so became the game of sips and bubbles. So we would literally be like, take a sip, blow some bubbles, take a sip. Blow some bubbles. And it just worked, Steph. She drank so much. And we hadn't been pushing out much urine that day. And literally, honestly, the joy. The downside is that we are now back to health and she will not drink anything without blowing bubbles. But I'm okay with that.
That's fine.
I'm all right.
That's fine. It could be worse.
So if you are somebody who has a fiercely strong-willed, independent toddler at home, then maybe these couple of, maybe they need to be given the options to decide how they would like their medicines and try the sips and bubbles.
Yeah, I love that. And also you've just reminded me, so we came home from a birthday party yesterday and in the party bag was one of those old school curly straws. Do you remember those? Did you have those when you were little?
Yeah,
and
I'm like, I love them.
Yeah, I love them. Well, that's the thing. So my eldest had exactly...
I drink my gin on a Friday night.
It sounds like you need a funnel after the week that you've had.
So she
pulled it out of the bag and she... just said, mummy, can I have some water? And yeah, she just sat there and drank a whole glass of water. Granted, she wasn't ill, but that novelty of like a fun straw or something like that might also be another thing that will just make it a bit
incredible,
more fun,
isn't
for them.
It?
Yeah.
I know, they're fascinating wee people. And I think just, you know, depending on what milestone or stage your baby or child is at, I don't, you know, I'm never going to say, you know, there's one stage that's easier than the next because I don't know what's to come ahead, but certainly every stage we've hit so far, none of them have felt easy. They're very challenging. And when your little one is ill, you've just got to think outside the box and take out all the judgment. We had, like I couldn't have done last week without the screens on, like literally the iPad, TV was on all day. Like there was one point I couldn't even like physically move. I was like, you just have to watch TV because I have no help. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So this is just what it is. And her appetite completely went. And the first thing she asked for, like, after a day of not eating, she was like, crisps. I was like, here we go. So yes. We had crisps for breakfast.
Yeah.
I was like, no judgment. You eat whatever you can get into you. And that is going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, as much as you'd love to kind of get in all the goodness, and it will come.
Exactly.
And the thing is,
yeah,
I wish last week I had the foresight. And it's mad because we do this all the time for a living. We're seeing thousands of babies and children all the time and sick people. And we know this. But the moment it's your own child and they're not eating and you can start suddenly, I was like, phone my mum in tears. I was like, she's half flesh and bones, mum. And my mum's like, it's okay. It'll come back. And then, of course, today, it's been the first day. She asked for two breakfasts. She, you know, she's like snacked all day. She's eaten two dinners tonight. So I'm just saying this to reassure any mum or dad who might be listening and might be going through that difficult stage, that I promise you, as quickly as they go down and as quickly as the appetite goes, it's as quickly as they bounce back, mm-hmm. and it does come back. And when it does, just you be prepared that you've got all the food offerings and some, and that's where you just get all the nutrition mushed in there as best you can.
Yeah. No, I think that's such good advice, because like you said, it's very different when you're on the other side and you're going through it and you're seeing your little one unwell. So I'm glad she's better. I'm glad you are all better as well.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Yeah, the message is, get your flu vaccine if you're eligible.
Get your flu vaccine.
Get it done. Don't delay.
Yeah. And also, lastly, because it's just been my bugbear, and I just have to say it. I know we all hated hands, face, space. But do you know what? If you are coming down with the cold, if you are feeling feverish, achy, sneezing, coughing, any of that, you know, be mindful. This is how the virus spreads. Mm-hmm. And it's coming up to winter where we're all wanting to curry in inside and mingle inside. This is the perfect breeding environment for these bugs. So, you know, stay at home. If you've got the option, you feel well enough to work, you know, try and ask if you can just work from home. Avoid sending your little ones to nursery because it spreads like wildfire. Mm. And just, I mean, I feel like we've just come out of quarantine. You know, we had a whole week where neighbours, friends, family were dropping off supplies and we hadn't left the house. But it was important because, you know, we are at risk of giving it to somebody, and not everyone will have the same, you know, healthy-ish immune systems as us.
Yeah.
So, you know, just remember that. Cough and sneeze into your arms, all of that stuff. Wash your hands. I've not seen anybody washing their hands anywhere near as much as what they used to do. So don't become complacent. Christmas is around the corner. Oh my God, she said the Christmas word. but yeah, just really, like, protect yourself.
Yeah,
and
I
as
agree.
Steph said, get your jab.
And I have noticed on my commute in to work that more people are wearing masks on the tube now as well.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, a very reasonable thing to do if you want to protect yourself, or you think, oh, maybe I'm not feeling 100%, but you're still able to go into work. You know, just, it's really easy to pop a mask on as well. So,
yeah.
I think that all of the behaviours that we learnt during COVID, like you said, they've kind of maybe forgotten them a little bit. But now's a good time to bring them back and try and protect ourselves and everyone else around us.
Exactly.
We hope that was helpful for you. A kind of nice, short little episode into an insight into what it's like having the flu. So... and some really key messages and hopefully some helpful advice and tips. And if you've got any helpful advice as well, tips, please send them to us and we will share, because I think, you know, when you're in the thick of it, you just, anything, any kind of advice and help and tips, you will try anything. So
yes,
send it to over to us.
Send them our way.
Yeah, exactly. Send it to us at the Medic Mum Podcast or at Dr. Poonam Christian or at the GP Mum, and we will share away. But until next time, thank you for listening. Make sure you rate and review as well on Apple or Spotify. It just means that everyone else can find our episodes and our podcasts a little bit easier. Until next time, take care. Thank you for listening, and bye.
Bye.